The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, and welcome to A Built Heritage Story on Heritage South with Senga and Davey, made possible through funding from the Southland Heritage and Building Preservation Trust. Good to get the gang back together again, Davey. This time, we're chatting about the iconic D Street Hospital. This one's been in the news quite a bit, actually, in recent times, with Troopers Memorial Corner Charitable Trust purchasing it, with the aim to restore it and have it used by the community.
That is so cool, eh? So this is like super significant because according to Heritage New Zealand, we are the only city in the country that still has hospital buildings from all eras of history, history. How good is that?
I think that's really amazing because we talked about the fact that actually Riverton had a hospital first. But the hospital that's there now, of course, that wasn't built until the 1880s, 1890s, around there somewhere. But our D Street Hospital, they date back right back to about 1862, round about there somewhere.
I know. It's super early in Invercargill's history,
Yeah, so I do think that that's really exciting. So we're talking about D Street.
Yes.
Are you a D Street baby?
I am not a D Street baby. I am a. I was born in a tent in Tuatapere. I was born in the maternity centre in Tuatapere. Are you a D Street baby, Senga?
No. I'm a Scottish lass. I was born in the Buck-ridden Maternity Hospital in Kilwinning in Ayrshire in Scotland.
Okay.
But my sister is a D Street baby. She was born there. And I'm not going to tell you what year because otherwise she will smack me.
Well, we wouldn't want you to get smacked, Senga. Did you know there's a mother famous Southlanders born there?
Really?
Yes. Well, I think they're famous. but Chris Knox from the Tall Dwarves, you know, not given lightly.
Right.
He was born there in 52. And Jason Kerrison from Op Shop was born there in 76. So, it's, I do remember I saw a concert of Op Shop, and he said, how many people here were born at McDonald's and educated at Burger King? Because that's, you know, born at the D Street Maternity home and educated at the old Marist School. So I thought that was quite nice. Born at McDonald's, fast food, but hopefully not fast education. Yes.
You know how I like a good fun fact, Davey, so
I do.
Here's one for you. Did you know that not only is the Porter's Lodge actually the oldest building on the site, but it is reputedly the oldest public building in Invercargill?
That's pretty cool. That's very cool. So the Porter, as I understand it, they were like more of a gatekeeper or a security guard, though, weren't they?
No.
Yeah.
They didn't wheel the patients around.
They weren't carrying bags or anything. They were just like, there to look after the property and look after the security.
So have you ever been into the site, Davey?
I have been into the site. So the southern half of the hospital, it was known as Browell House later on. It was used as a residence for the William Hodges Fellowship artists from about 2000, from memory. So that was where the artists in residence would stay, doing their residence, obviously. But the northern part was used to store some old props and bits and pieces, not collections or anything like that, from the museum. So when I was back in the day, I spent quite a bit of time there moving old Tuatara heads from parades around and all sorts of weird things. I spent a bit of time there, and I know it was getting pretty rugged. That part of the building was getting a bit rugged near the end, but it would have been a great sort of post-apocalyptic film set. It just looked quite creepy at that stage.
I see where your mind's going.
Well, it is Halloween today when we're recording this, so
That is true. Did you know that the first government hospital in the town of Invercargill actually dates back to 1861?
Ah.
It was located in the Crescent. Near the corner of D and Tay Streets.
That would have been an old wooden one, wouldn't it?
I would think so. And the brand new Southland Provincial Council, as they were then, and short-lived Provincial Council, they actually established it while they were planning this purpose-built hospital in D Street. So when you think about it, that's only 5 years after Invercargill was founded as a town.
And it wouldn't have been a very big town in those days, you know.
No, not at all. Yeah. So they set up the hospital reserve in D Street in about 1862.
Yeah.
And you talked about the North Wing. That was actually built a bit later that year. So it was actually opened in 1863.
Yeah.
And another fun fact, Leven Street didn't always go through to intersect with Victoria Avenue as it does today. It actually went, the hospital reserve went all the way down to the railway lines.
Ah, so that makes sense why the nurses' home, which is over the road, would have actually been on the grounds back in the day. So
that's
the nurses
right.
wouldn't have had to cross the road to get over the over to the hospital. Ah,
yes.
Oh, very
yes.
cool. Here's a bit of a fun fact for you. Frederick William Burwell, he was a Scottish architect who migrated to New Zealand and established his practice down here in Invercargill in 1874. And he's credited with transforming the town from that frontier settlement, you know, your wooden sort of wild western looking place, to designing numerous sort of elegant two and three story buildings in his favoured Renaissance style. And that's sort of defined how D Street and the Crescent and looked in those days.
Yeah, because he was the one responsible for that, the beautiful architecture that's the Langlands block.
That's right,
that
yes.
has pretty much come down now. But, you know, it was that beautiful frontage there
yeah.
with the Albion Hotel and all along there.
He's a very talented
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
very
definitely.
Talented. Yeah, so he stayed here for quite a while, but the sort of economic depression in the 1880s saw his commissions decline in Invercargill, and he moved over to Australia where he saw out the rest of his career there. But you was you mentioned earlier about the gates and the fence, so there's still some original features around the hospital. Aren't there?
Yeah, well, we were talking about the Porter's Lodge, which
yeah.
was the first building that they actually built there. And then, of course, those beautiful gates, they've always been there, that fence and
yeah.
the gates. They're actually historically significant as well. So it's not just the buildings. And apparently that fence was built by prison labour.
Yes.
Yes.
Which the prison would have been just down the road from
exactly,
there.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are identical in design to the fence that we can see today that surrounds the Invercargill Club in Don Street.
Yes. Hmm. Might have got a 2-for-1 deal with the prison.
Who knows? Well, potentially, though. I think they probably practiced on the hospital ones first because I think the other ones came a bit later.
They're a bit fancier.
Yes. But of course, old Burwell was not the only renowned architect to be involved in designing the buildings on the hospital site, because they came in stages and they had added a surgical block around about 1910. And that was designed by E.R. Wilson, who is known for the beautiful Civic Theatre.
That's right, and also the Guggenheim, the Eastern Southland Gallery, but that was a bit of a cheeky name for the Eastern Southland Gallery, but I think that's what they call it.
Yeah, because that was a Carnegie building, wasn't it?
It was a Carnegie
yes.
building, yeah,
yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was, I think, that was the main hospital in Invercargill until the late 1930s.
Yes,
And
yep.
that's when we had Kew Hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously Kew Hospital named that because it is the area of Invercargill that it was being built in.
Mm.
And they'd first mooted that about 1918 because they were literally running out of room on that D Street site.
It wasn't a massive, in the postcards it looks like it's quite big, but there's probably not that much room in there. There wouldn't have been as much room as what we'd need for the size of the city.
Yeah. And when you consider the nurse's home and everything was there as well. So, and of course they had actually built a fever ward out in Kew
yes.
In 1907. So they had kind of the beginnings of that out there. But of course, D Street remained a functioning hospital right through until 1942, when the Kew Hospital was opened up. And at that stage, they renamed it the Queen Victoria Hospital.
Yes.
But of course, today, most people remember D Street as the Maternity Hospital, which is what it became in 1957.
Mm.
And then, of course, from the late 1960s, they renamed it again. So then it wasn't just known as the D Street Maternity Hospital. It was the D Street Maternity Hospital. Wasn't just used as a maternity hospital, though.
No, no. There was an antenatal clinic, a blood bank, hearing aid clinic, and eventually the hospital's board's head office was situated there.
Yeah, yeah. They kept building down in the on the Kew site, though, and I do remember when they were building the new maternity unit down there. So eventually all of the maternity services were transferred to Kew, and it was closed in 1979. And the reason we still have those buildings today really is because the then New Zealand Historic Places Trust, which is now Heritage New Zealand, they classified these as Category 1 listed places in 1984 because there had been talk about they weren't being used for anything, let's just get rid of them.
Well, I'm glad they didn't, and I'm glad that they, yeah.
Exactly. So demolition of other buildings on that site did take place in 1985, but the buildings we still have today were retained, which is great. And, of course, the Porter's Lodge, that became the Citizens Advice Bureau for a while.
Was that for quite a while too,
wasn't
it?
Yeah, yeah, I think it was. And it was about that time that Leven Street was actually extended right through until Gala Street then.
Yeah, and I think after that, so McDonald's bought the that portion of land that they're currently on in around 1990, I think it was. Yeah, and as I mentioned earlier, the South Museum and Art Gallery leased land and used the buildings, the remaining buildings, for the William Hodges Fellowship from around 2000.
And the Southern Hospital that we know today was actually officially opened in September 2004. So we've got 3 centuries that spans the hospital services here in Invercargill.
Amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
But of course, there are so many more stories about the D Street Hospital, and Heritage South have actually just put up a brand new Built Heritage page all about the D Street Hospital. There's also a collection of oral history snippets that you can listen to that were recorded during a nurse's reunion a few years ago. So do go and visit the Heritage South website, heritagesouth.nz. Click on Built Heritage and you'll be able to read all of the amazing stories that we've put up there. You can also listen to our other previous Built Heritage episodes. You just need to click on the podcast link on the website. And, of course, our next episode is going to be really timely because I'm going to be chatting with Dr. Sally Dobbs about the stories of those Southland pioneer nurses and, in particular, Marion Brown. So I'm really excited for that to happen. And keep your ears to the ground for our next Built Heritage story, which will be coming up in early 2026, and think trains.
Ooh, I love it.
Hey, thanks for joining me, Davey.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, kone ra and nga mihi nui. Thanks for listening to Heritage South. This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links are also on Facebook on Radio Southland's page, facebook.com/Radio Southland, and you can also find us on Heritage South's page at Heritage South NZ. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform, through the Access Media app, or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.